Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The now former Atlanta police officer charged with murdering a black suspect in a Wendy's parking lot a week ago is expected to appear in court today. Garrett Rolfe is facing nearly a dozen counts, including felony murder, for the death of Rayshard Brooks a week ago tonight. Hundreds of President Trump's supporters are already in line for tomorrow night's campaign rally in Tulsa. Attendees have to sign a waiver saying they won't sue the Trump campaign if they get sick. But Oklahoma health workers have sent a letter to the mayor of Tulsa urging him to cancel the rally over COVID-19 concerns. After meeting with the Oklahoma governor, President Trump said of the rally plan,
"One of the reasons we chose your state, as you know, Kevin, was that you've done so well with the COVID."
For the third time, Twitter has flagged one of President Trump's tweets, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owner population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
You can take Democratic Senator and former White House hopeful herself, Amy Klobuchar, off former Vice President Joe Biden's short list of women he's considering to be his running mate. Klobuchar is saying she called Biden yesterday to tell him that putting a woman of color on the Democratic ticket would help heal the nation.
Get on your mark, get set, because here we go.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio saying the Big Apple will enter phase two of coronavirus reopening on Monday. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now calling former National Security Advisor John Bolton a traitor. Pompeo slamming the former National Security Advisor after reading excerpts from Bolton's upcoming book, which Pompeo calls sad and dangerous, accusing Bolton of spreading lies. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is still fighting the release of the book, which is scheduled to be out next week. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
General Motors will observe 8 minutes and 46 seconds of silence in all of its facilities today on this Juneteenth, the day slavery ended in the U.S. The time is how long a Minneapolis cop... An attorney for two people who claim to have witnessed the police shooting death of Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta. Well, he says his clients did see what was a murder. Sean Williams, the attorney for Melvin Evans and Michael Perkins, also saying that a bullet fired by former officer Garrett Rolfe barely missed Perkins. Rolfe is facing nearly a dozen charges, including murder for Brooks' death. The other officer involved in the case, Devin Brosnan, is charged with a number of things, including aggravated assault. Knelt on the neck of George Floyd before the handcuffed black man died on Memorial Day. One of two bills that would decriminalize the possession of marijuana in New Jersey has passed the state assembly. Yesterday, the assembly approved a bill that would reduce the current penalty for up to 2 ounces of marijuana from an arrest to a civil fine of $50. Jail terms and fines for anything more than 2 ounces would be decreased as well on a sliding scale. A bill pending in the New Jersey State Senate would decriminalize up to a pound of marijuana. Voters will decide in November whether to legalize marijuana altogether in the state. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Daniel Halpert joins us now. We're going to be talking about his new book that he and Alana Goodman have written. They're bringing original reporting, unprecedented access to the examination of the official story of the death that has captivated the public and left many unanswered questions. Importantly, did Jeffrey Epstein really kill himself? Daniel, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on the book, A Convenient Death, The Mysterious Demise of Jeffrey Epstein. This is a story that even to this day, I mean, I'm reading where there's been sightings of Jeffrey Epstein, that he's really not dead, that he's alive and well in South America, I guess.
Yeah, listen, it's attracted a lot of conspiracy theories and a lot of interest. For very, really good reason. There's a lot we don't know about Jeffrey Epstein. We try to get to this, and we try to explain how it is that he lived, and importantly, how he died. Mm-hmm. The last few months, the last few weeks, the last few days, what led up to it. We've been stonewalled along the way. The federal government refuses to answer questions. They refuse to put out the details of their alleged investigation into this. And I think, you know, like we see in much else in the world, the fact is when there aren't clear answers, people come up with their own.
Exactly.
And it's a very fascinating story about sort of how people work and how the elite power structures in America work as well.
Yeah, that's consistent with what we, you know, mantra on this show, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And there's lots of opinions. And, of course, because of this, then, you know, it seems to be that powers and forces in our government are such, are happy to have the people, you know, wearing tinfoil hats and accused of being conspiratorial.
But look, there are a lot of those people in power could shed some light on this, right?
Mm-hmm. But, yes.
You know, Donald Trump was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. It'd be interesting to hear what he has to say. Bill Clinton, we know, was very, very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein, pretty close to him. He hasn't sat for interviews and had to explain who he is and about these things. So you sort of see that people in power across American leadership have allowed this thing to fester by their own silence. But again, when Jeffrey Epstein died in a Manhattan prison cell run by federal officials, the attorney general said that he was outraged and that clearly things had gone wrong, and he called on for an investigation. But where are the results of that investigation? We don't know. They won't release them. We know, based on victim testimonial, that Jeffrey Epstein did not act alone, that there was a lot of co-conspirators, that there were people who we know, who we have direct knowledge of, who acted on his behalf, at his behest, who participated allegedly in some of these crimes. You know, where's the FBI in this? They're too busy. You know, they're too busy taking down Michael Flynn to sort of focus on this.
Right.
And I think that these are serious questions. And again, it is about Jeffrey Epstein, but it's also about sort of who we are, what we stand for, and how our government is operating at the moment, and it's kind of distressing.
Well, you identify a key point, and this is what we talk about in our show right now, is that all it takes is a little bit of deception and lies, you know, to corrupt the whole batch here, and we either are going to pursue the truth and understand and truly be followers and those who are committed to the rule of law or not. You just can't parcel this out. Our country continues to be, you know, wrapped in mystery, whether it has to do still with the JFK assassination and now Jeffrey Epstein, and Epstein just really sticks out so blatantly. Daniel, how were you able, I mean, being shut down by all these immediate forces that you think should be pretty academic to get information from them, but then you realize they were being blocked here. So how do you get the information? You've got to use non-traditional ways to, come up with some evidence here.
So we did. We talked very extensively with some of his lawyers and some people who were actually very close to him. And I think we do a pretty good job of sort of understanding what Jeffrey Epstein was thinking the last few weeks and few days and few hours. And I was kind of surprised because, A, the closer we get, the people tend to believe that he wasn't, that he didn't commit suicide, that he was probably murdered. And B, Jeffrey Epstein, it seems, was pretty optimistic about his future. I know it seems strange to perhaps consider, but given his predicament in a Manhattan prison cell. But Jeffrey Epstein, his whole life, he was a con man.
Yes, exactly.
He used his money to buy his way into power, and he didn't even have as much money as people thought. He used a perception of these things to buy his way into politics, academia, the media. And he had anchors coming over to his house. He was close with Bill Clinton. He had an office at Harvard. He used those things to get his way. Mm-hmm. And even at the end, Jeffrey Epstein thought he never did anything wrong, nothing. He thought that he had a very compelling legal case to get out of it. Remember, he had served time, although very lightly, and like a slap on the wrist back in Florida.
Florida,
but
right.
The feds, when they did bring charges against him last year, they brought charges based on those crimes that he had already served time for, that he believed legally that he had served. So they were going to use the double jeopardy argument. Whether or not that would have worked because of the state versus federal laws remains to be seen. But, of course, he was optimistic as a person, which, again, it leads you to believe, like, how many people do you know that are optimistic about the future really off themselves?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It was sort of... It's harder to make the case to find evidence that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide than it is to find evidence that he was murdered.
Right, exactly. Regarding his personality as well, understood that he was also a very charming guy, and he hung around people that were equally charming, whether it was Bill Clinton or Prince Andrew, a long list of people that, traveled and used their charm as a kind of an economic form, I guess.
Aren't the best con men charming, aren't they?
Yes.
Aren't you sort of your most successful if you're able to convince people that you're for real? Mm-hmm. By all accounts, Jeffrey Epstein was charming. He was also, by all accounts, very smart. He was quick on his feet, and he was good with numbers. He was good at advising, apparently, to various tax dodges or a way to lower your tax burden. But he also wasn't a variety of things. Like, he would always tell people that he was a money manager to the ultra wealthy and to billionaires, but he wasn't a money manager. He didn't run. I mean, like, if you're a rich guy and you have billions of dollars, and you actually have a money manager, they're making trades every day, and they're, you know, it's like a full-time job, and you have, right, like staff, and it's like a complicated thing.
Right.
He wasn't doing that.
You don't have time to go flying on the Lolita Express, because your whole job is managing that guy's portfolio, right?
Exactly, and that's not what he was doing. But he did very clearly have something over these people. He was able to captivate them for a variety of ways. One is charm, one is money or the perception of money, and he did have a lot. certainly by my standards or by most normal people's mm-hmm. standards. And you know, perhaps some of it was also blackmail.
I want to talk about that. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to focus in on that a little bit more, too. Daniel Halpert is with us, and the conversation will continue after this. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We all need to do our part.
And so that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. But not just any mask. Cheap doesn't mean protection. Sunny-Bay.com has the best value of high-quality N95 or disposable face masks anywhere. Get disposable Level 1 face masks now, a 20-pack starting at only $12, or a 10-pack of N95 respirator masks is only $34. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Oh, you
need
that
voice.
I trust your
taste is
thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
As promised, back with you, fresh and independent. We are Bill Martinez here as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Daniel Halpert continues with us. He and Alana Goodman have written a new book, A Convenient Death, A Mysterious Demise of Jeffrey Epstein, where we have more questions than answers right now. And I'll tell you what you and Alana have done, Daniel, have answered many of these questions, and you're bringing into focus a better understanding. You started wanted to touch on before we went to the break about, you know, possible, you know, maybe blackmail or information on people that, you know, these powerful people didn't want out there. And he was the keeper of those keys.
Yeah, well, we know by many, many accounts that he had all his properties, and he had numerous of them, and they were lavish and nice. They were very well, and he had a lot of rich and famous guests come very frequently, a lot of names that you and I have heard of. Mm-hmm. They were all sort of wired with video cameras, and he was able to sort of, by all accounts, have a good sense of what was going on and perhaps capture images of people in compromised situations that he was then able to hold over their head. So, Jeffrey, again, I think for me, that what I found most surprising, you know, I'm not very conspiratorial, so I came at this thinking, well, who knows, maybe it was a suicide, but I came way closer to thinking that he was a murderer, but we leave it open for viewers to make their own decision in the book, mm-hmm. Just laying out the facts, but I also just, again, I think he's just a big con man, and I think if you like a good con man story, I mean, or are sort of blown away by one, this, and it has a lot of victims, and it's sad, but it's certainly mysterious, too.
Yeah. Well, Michael Bodden, who's been on the show, and you've heard his testimony as well, says that it points to a homicide, not to a suicide. But all that hangs out there, again, in the absence of fact and conclusion, the mystery continues. Now, you also talked with former MCC prison guards and the chief psychologist who cast doubt on the official suicide. You kind of referenced the psychologist earlier, but what were the prison guards telling you?
Listen, his personality and the way he had, the way he presented himself and carried himself, he wasn't really well liked in the prison, but everybody sort of knew who he was, and he was sort of throwing around money. He was there in survival mode, right? So he mm-hmm. was using his money to fill out the commissary accounts of other prisoners there. He was using his power there to sort of gain favor. And some of the prison guards didn't really like him also for other things. He had lawyers coming all the time, and he would sort of dominate these conference rooms that were supposed to be shared by other people. So he did draw a lot of scrutiny. You know, it's funny because you're in prison, so you sort of have this perception that people are locked off. But it's our understanding that people knew who he was very, very well. And he did have a target on his back. You know, he was probably, this is the MCC where he was held in Manhattan, very prominent. You know, people like Michael Avenatti, mm-hmm. El Chapo, the mobsters, people are held there. Very famous people tend to be held there who are mm-hmm. picked up in Manhattan. And he was probably the most famous guy at the prison at the time. And you would think, given his scenario, given everybody what everybody knew about him, that there would be a distinct effort to keep him alive, and somehow at the end of the day he ends up dead, and that is shocking by itself.
Without a doubt. You spoke with his brother, Mark. What did he tell you?
He doubts the official story. Doesn't think he was murdered. I mean, doesn't think he committed suicide. I think he tends to think that he was murdered, and he's the one who hired Baden to try to discover the truth. You know, that's, of course, another element, is that all the physical evidence points to a strangulation rather than a suicide, hanging. Mm-hmm. And that is another element. You know, you go into, like, the New York City Medical Examiner. When they did the autopsy, their initial conclusion was that it was inconclusive, that they weren't sure how he had died. Mm-hmm. And somehow, mysteriously, a couple of days later, they changed their view to make it a final determination as the suicide by hanging. So that, too, deserves answers. The medical examiner should have to explain themselves, why they changed themselves. And since they're not, it's allowed for conspiracy theories to flourish.
Exactly. Not to mention, leading up to it, he was beat up. He was accosted in his cell, you know, and got pretty well pummeled there. And then somehow, you know, he's on a high supervisory you know, position in terms of, you know, suicide watch, I believe, some sort of suicide watch or derivative. And, you know, they fail to look in on him. And also during that process, he's not supposed to have linen, you know, his paper linen or paper, you know, like mattress covers and stuff like that, not linen, but somehow conveniently linen is there. I mean, this is all, you know, all these things coming together. This is what leaves us with more questions, right?
Yeah, listen, to buy into the suicide theory, you have to basically believe that all of those things that you laid out, plus more, plus, you know, video camera footage going missing and, you know, guards allegedly falsifying information. You have to believe that all those are just coincidences that sort of worked in his favor, rather than the opposite, which is that it was all part of something to have him diminished.
Or taken out. Deceased. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Taken out. And right. So it's like, well, what do you want to believe? You want to believe this, like, complex theory that he wanted to off himself, even though it's not really in his personality, or do you want to believe what seems more likely to be true, which is that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein took the matters into his own hands.
Right. Or, exactly.
I mean, sorry, that somebody else benefited by taking matters into their own hands. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, and as you touched on earlier as well, Daniel, and we've got a couple of minutes left here, in looking down and just analyzing the final days of his life, in questioning, you know, motive and, you know, what could possibly have, you know, or be entering, what possibly could he be entertaining to want to commit suicide when there was no signal, there was no indication of that, including Doug Schoen. His lawyer and friend. I didn't even realize that Doug Schoen was a friend of Epstein's.
Yeah, he was going to be his final lawyer. They had been talking, and according to he now lives in Georgia. The lawyer that Epstein was very optimistic, and they had a pretty good legal strategy. It's kind of interesting to hear because you assume, and we know obviously that a lot of victims have spoken out and they have said what Epstein did to them and what some of his co-conspirators did to them. So you kind of think, well, he didn't really have a shot, and maybe, you know, he sort of lacked any sort of foresight that he might be out, but not the case. His lawyers and Jeffrey Epstein were pretty optimistic that they knew that Jeffrey Epstein was a household name, that people hated him, that he was reviled, and that they had public opinion against them, but legally, they thought they had a pretty good shot of him getting out of prison. Mm-hmm. And that, again, that he had this optimism at the end of his life, inconsistent with somebody who is going to take his own life.
Going to commit suicide. Yeah, also in the book, you point out new information about Epstein's access to Bill Clinton in the White House.
Yeah, that's right. He was closer to Epstein, Bill Clinton, that is, as early as the 1990s. Now, we also talked to somebody who witnessed his relationship with Bill Clinton's relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell, that he was actually very close with Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's former girlfriend, who also on the record has been accused of being essentially a co-conspirator in these crimes, that she has been alleged to have procured these young women and taken advantage of them. And yet this is somebody who Bill Clinton is very close with. He hasn't answered questions about their relationship. He hasn't explained why she was at his daughter's wedding. This goes to the top levels of American government. Epstein was a man who was able to get his way, get in the halls of power. And just reading this book, I think people have an understanding of sort of how elites play by different rules. They get different things than the rest of us, and that, you know, how this sick power structure can benefit somebody else. And I think at the end, you're maybe left wondering how many more Jeffrey Epsteins are out there.
Exactly. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The now former Atlanta police officer charged with murdering a black suspect in a Wendy's parking lot a week ago is expected to appear in court today. Garrett Rolfe is facing nearly a dozen counts, including felony murder, for the death of Rayshard Brooks a week ago tonight. Hundreds of President Trump's supporters are already in line for tomorrow night's campaign rally in Tulsa. Attendees have to sign a waiver saying they won't sue the Trump campaign if they get sick. But Oklahoma health workers have sent a letter to the mayor of Tulsa urging him to cancel the rally over COVID-19 concerns. After meeting with the Oklahoma governor, President Trump said of the rally plan,
"One of the reasons we chose your state, as you know, Kevin, was that you've done so well with the COVID."
For the third time, Twitter has flagged one of President Trump's tweets, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, there's been a lot of news coverage of COVID-19 over the last few months that has continuously featured experts referencing how people with pre-existing health conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and asthma are at increased risk for severe complications from the virus. But what about patients with rare autoimmune diseases? Affecting an estimated 60,000 Americans, myasthenia gravis is a rare chronic neuromuscular autoimmune disease which causes debilitating and potentially life-threatening muscle weakness. MG patients may feel particularly vulnerable during this time because treatment regimens often leave them immunosuppressed, and with severe cases of MG can be associated with difficulty breathing. Having a rare disease during this time and even under control, normal circumstances can be isolating, and social distancing guidelines can add to feelings of loneliness. Given the nature of COVID-19 and its manifestation of symptoms in the lungs and muscle pain, MG patients are bound to have questions. And here with some answers are two very important people that you need to listen to. Dr. Erica Green joins us, the Sumner Family Chair in Neuromuscular Research, and Rachel Higgins, an MG patient herself, and Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America community leader out of Austin, Texas. Ladies, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you to be here. Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Green, help us understand, what is MG and how does it affect patients and their support communities?
So MG stands for myasthenia gravis. And it is one of several autoimmune diseases. An autoimmune disease is one in which a person's immune system identifies a protein or cell within their own body as foreign and attempts to attack it. And so in the case cortisone skeletal muscle. So patients will have fatigable weakness, especially with exertion, heat, stress, and it can cause a variety of symptoms from double vision, lid drooping, so they can't drive, read, focus. It can affect swallowing and speech, so they may choke on their food or even their own saliva, and they might have nasally speech. I think we get more concerned, obviously, when it starts to affect the breathing muscles, which can require hospitalization. But in addition to that, it affects the person's ability to manage their life, their ability to function at home because they can't cook. They can't wash their own hair because of weakness. They can't go grocery shopping or even work. So I think it's important to understand that myasthenia gravis, like many of these diseases, doesn't just affect the person as an island. It affects their family, their community, their social network.
Well, Dr. Green, especially with, you know, all that we're hearing about COVID, and we start talking about respiratory ailment and MG patients, wow, I mean, you talk about the anxiety level being amped up. You know, this has to, as you say, go all the way down line from the patients to the family to the community, how MG patients are affected, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why staying connected, especially during this time, is so important. And I think Rachel should definitely speak on that. But
yes.
What this has afforded us is the ability to connect virtually across states. And Rachel, your perspective on that, I think, is so important for them to hear.
To stay connected is so important, and we're so we tend to isolate anyway, and then to be able to have platforms like the MG United, the new fresh patient-centric MG United, where we can remain connected. It helps us remember that we're not alone.
Yes.
And this disease can be scary, and you need others to walk through this with. If it's in support group or it's virtual, in person or through Facebook, social media, Instagram, what have you, there are others out there. You're not alone.
Yeah, and I think this is what we're finding out, Rachel, is that regardless of what affliction you may be dealing with, in this case we're talking about MG, but others, I mean, we have people, I was speaking with a doctor a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me of the thousands of people with heart conditions that are not being treated right now, and how the panic level must be for them. And if you're doing this by yourself, wow, that is a slippery slide down loneliness lane that can lead to something even more fatal in your life. And this is being represented with people's response, sadly, in terms of the increased number of suicides that are happening in our country today.
That's a great point, Bill. And I think it's important that those of us who have maybe already walked through a dark space and now are on the other side of it, it's important to help others catch them before they start sliding down the slippery slide you mentioned. Make sure that we're reaching out, offering them a hand, and if we're in the community, the MG community, making sure we're making available, sharing, talking about not just our stories or the symptoms and whatnot, but sharing resources so that patients can educate themselves and help educate those around them so they can help lift each other up at the same time.
Dr. Green, what signs and symptoms of MG should we be looking for?
I think that if you're someone and you're related or connected to someone who might have symptoms, it's important to note the variability of their symptoms, to listen to them when there are complaints of, I can't do this, I'm having difficulty, the change in the voice, the difficulty seeing the headaches that may come from that, just being sensitive to what the patient is expressing. And for the patient is not to dismiss your symptoms. Don't dismiss your symptoms necessarily if they just don't go away with age, fatigue, something else, and to seek care. And that's why this platform, MGUnited.com and others like it, Disability to Talk to You, brings awareness so that patients and their families can be sensitive to these changes and seek care early.
Rachel, let's hear your story. Help our audience understand a bit of your journey as you became an MG patient and where you are today, helping out with the MG Foundation of American Community.
Oh, and if I go too
long, Bill. You just slow me down.
Well, we got about 3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes, so we won't give you all three. But you know, go ahead and tell your story as best you can.
I'll be precise. My journey started about 12 years ago when I woke up one morning and I couldn't spit out my toothpaste. We weren't sure what was going on, and by the end of the day, my voice had changed. I began to sound nasal, and then as though I had a retainer in my mouth. And over the next week, the muscle strength would degrade. I would be unable to hold my head up or lift my shoulders, my arms. Breathing eventually became a problem, and my vision doubled dramatically. The inability to chew and swallow food led to dramatic weight loss quickly. So that impacted our family rapidly. And in that season, we did a lot of research. We joined support groups, and that's very much how I became connected with both the Muscular Dystrophy Association and the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America. And we learned through support groups so many tips and tricks how to live with myasthenia gravis, because we were learning from others who have been on this ride for much longer than we are.
Exactly.
But through that and the value from that, making sure we became involved not just with other support groups, but with conferences and institutions and networking and making sure we were helping the next family. So that's why we're passionate about support groups and awareness. That's why we love the month of June, because we want to help other people around the globe simply say the word myasthenia gravis. I don't
yes.
need you to know what it is. I just want you to try to say it.
Exactly. I said it a couple times. I was even surprised myself how it rolled off the end of my tongue. But, you know, yours is an interesting story, that how it came upon you so quickly. But again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, you can't do this alone. And there's others who have been before you that have a lot of wisdom and experience to share to encourage you, right?
MG United platform is so valuable right now for new MG families. The first thing they want to know is, are we going to be okay?
Tell everybody where they can go for more information.
MGUnited.com, MG-United.com, where they can connect with others in the community, with resources, and with support.
Well, Dr. Erica Green, Rachel Higgins, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate the time and the insight. Take care.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
All right, lobby or no lobby, it's time for Mike Haley from Focus on the Family. He is the director of Resilient Kids. That's Resilient with a Z. Kids with a Z, too, because we've got to have lots of Zs here. And they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary of teaching the building blocks of successful parenting. Michael, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Bill.
Well, this program that you have, of course, this year, unlike previous years because of COVID, our celebration is going to be more online and very locally focused because that's what's necessary because of all the different quarantines and things that are going on and maintaining all the appropriate social distances. You say, although we can't host a typical 10-year anniversary celebration this year, 2020 provides a unique opportunity for families to focus on the assets they can work on together while they have extended time at home.
Yeah, so our program is built in partnership with an organization known as the CERT Institute. And like you were alluding to, they've done decades of research with over 5 million young people, and they've come up with 40 essential building blocks called the 40 developmental assets that every child needs to be successful. And so right now is a really good time for parents not only to be modeling those, but really trying to assimilate those into the home since we have this extended time with our kids.
Exactly. This is really brilliant. I mean, this study, 40 developmental assets, and boy, you put them up in a check mark on your refrigerator. You might even be surprised of those assets, and maybe in many cases, how you've already employed them. The program, by the way, is available across the country as a train-the-trainer model, available in English, Spanish, Chinese, recently translated into Arabic. My Arabic is a little rough right now, so we're going to stay in English. Is that okay, Mike?
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, everybody's going to thank us, and they're going to go, what the heck are you guys doing here? But, this is a brilliant, brilliant plan. I know that there's three assets we want to talk about, service to others, safety, and time at home, because of the current condition. But just give us a broader overview before we get into those specific three assets of the 40 developmental assets.
Yeah, well, like I said, the research has been done over decades with over 5 million young people. And basically, the more of these assets a child has, the less likely they are to engage in high-risk behaviors. And their grade point averages are going to increase according to the number of these assets that they have. Let me just give you one example. for instance, if a child is missing most of the assets, meaning of these 40, only 0 to 10 of those assets are present, 45% of those kids are going to engage in alcohol use or abuse. Mm. But if a child has 31 to 40 of those assets, that likelihood that that child's going to engage in dangerous behavior with alcohol drops to 3%. And again, behavior after behavior after behavior, the high-risk behaviors are decreased and positive behaviors are increased. So this really is an important set of assets that have been empirically tested, you know, over the decades. And again, that's part of what our curriculum is based on, is helping parents be aware of what are these developmental assets, how do you model them, how do you bring them into your home, and how do you make them stronger within your family.
This is awesome. Mike, let's talk about service to others and give our audience and parents an idea. I mean, this is, you know, just in time for Father's Day. I know Father's Day, you know, all fathers want to be the best fathers they can be. And yes, this might be a great gift for them to their family as opposed to the family to them, because this is one of those gifts that comes with a legacy and that will last for generations. So walk us through service to others. This is asset number 9 of 40 assets. What does that look like when we train it and we bring it into the household and model it to our kids? What does it look like?
Yeah, I mean, it could be the smallest of things, whether it's just unloading a dishwasher without being asked, grabbing somebody's dinner plate at the end of dinner and taking it to the sink. I mean, it's just simple things like that. But we forget that service to others really is, it gets us out of ourselves. It focuses on those that are around us, especially those in our communities that are, you know, less fortunate than we are. Of course, right now that's a little hard with all the social distancing, but there are ways to begin to model that within the home. Again, those simple, small acts of kindness, you know, can really go a long way.
And what we're finding out anecdotally in terms of service to others, like you say, little things, not necessarily the big things. You know, we have a weekly viral video report that we do with Samantha Mao here on the show, and she's often referred to as the good news girl. So you know the kind of message she brings along is one that helps us get outside of ourselves. And she talks about how kids, even just by stopping where somebody is housebound, maybe someone elderly who's especially concerned about, you know, going outside, even going shopping and stuff like that, but how these people are so blessed because, you know, the neighborhood kids are just stopping by and waving through the window. In some cases, they're singing, you know, to the neighbors and things like that. I mean, these are small little service things that we can do to other people that get us outside of ourselves, that bless us as much, if not more, than it blesses them.
Absolutely. Whether it's taking somebody's trash out, pulling their trash can back up to their house, just those simple small acts, whether they're noticed or not noticed, it's actually the fact that we serve others for ourselves, not that we do it for them to notice and get the, you know, the acclamation or the credit, but it really is, it does something within our nature as we go out and serve others.
And that is, you know, what you just touched on is so important, and it is a bit of a challenge to get across because, you know, kids want to be noticed. They want acknowledgement. You know, and even when we grow up, they say some of the most important things that you can experience on the job is reward and recognition. But it is much more powerful if you can disconnect for, you know, for such a degree and not expect that reward or recognition. But you just do it silently without acknowledgement. That is, boy, I'll tell you, that is very powerful because I know, my, you know, speaking from experience, the times that I've done that myself, it just seems to be of a greater reward. And I know, like with the kids, you know, sometimes, well, Dad, you know, I was doing this and they didn't really appreciate it and stuff. It's not necessarily, you know, in the appreciation. This is the aspect of it's better to give than receive, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's when we know when kids or people have really kind of caught that asset is when they do that. You know, I was a youth pastor and I talked about challenging my kids to labor in obscurity, to do the thing that's not noticed. And that's when you know that they really kind of caught that asset or they really kind of caught that idea is when they do it without having to receive the reward.
Now, when you're going through these assets, do you have a checkbox? I mentioned something on the refrigerator I envision. How is this noted when you feel that, you know, your child is getting it?
Yeah, again, the 13-week program really begins to break down. There's eight different asset categories, and so we take a look at those different eight asset categories and really break them down. Like the first category is support, and so the six assets that fall under that idea are family support, positive family communication, other adult relationships, which we know is like mentors, a caring neighborhood, a caring school climate, and parent involvement in schooling. So we really help the parents to realize what are these specific assets that maybe for the next 3, 6, 9 months can I work on with my kids that I need to strengthen.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, it's nothing that, this isn't the Evelyn Wood School of, you know, cultural reading, speed reading or anything like that. This is a process. It's, you know, you take your time, you get through it. You know, I used to like, I like the anecdotal story about Benjamin Franklin. What he would do is he would take a virtue every week, one virtue, he would focus on it. So if it was, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, he evaluated himself throughout the day and especially at the end of the day on that virtue of honesty. And he did it for the entire week, and then the next week he would pick up another virtue, and you know, and I've always held to that. I've appreciated that approach in terms of you know, character development. Now let's talk about asset number 10, which happens to be safety. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now this is a great time to talk to our kids about safety. I think kids are really concerned. Are they watching the news? Are they hearing about this pandemic and are scared? You know, I think there's things that we can say to our kids. Look, we're going to keep you safe. If we go out in public, we're going to wear masks. Mm-hmm. We're going to wash our hands. We're going to maintain, you know, remain safe. Because I think right now we really need to check in with our kids to find out, are they internalizing this fear? Are they able to talk about it? Are we doing things to help them ensure that when we're out in public that they do feel safe? So I think right now that's a really good asset for parents to focus on.
Exactly. We also mentioned at the start, you know, time at home. We're spending more time at home, as one lady told me. Oh, my God, I looked the other day and saw this strange man sitting next to me, and I found my husband. So there are some old new discoveries that are happening along the way. So what does time at home look like?
Yeah, and I mean, that's utilizing that time at home, making sure everybody isn't in their bedrooms alone, maybe sitting having a family game night. You know, talking at dinner time and talking about the kids' highs and their lows of the day, you know, and then you sharing what was your high and your low of the day. It's really just making sure that that time isn't just spent kind of doing nothing, but that it's real intentional time. And it doesn't have to mean you do it all day, but is there maybe a specific hour that the family sets aside to do something together or process what's going on or just checking in?
Yeah. We know from experience, Mike, our kids want to be heard, right? And that's the thing. We just have to listen to them, and regardless of how they may want to shorten the sentences, and I find that especially if the sentences are abbreviated, that's all the more caution that we need to dig a little bit deeper, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. What are they hiding? What are they fearful of? Yeah. What's actually going on?
Well, Mike Haley with Focus on the Family, congratulations on Resilient Kids celebrating 10-year anniversary. Awesome. The 40 developmental assets. How can the people plug in? We got about 10 seconds.
Yeah, capablekids.com. We bring our program into communities for free if that community is underserved, so they can apply for a grant on our website, capablekids.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.